When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Delta and Raja, a podcast where two iconic, amazing, legendary, like no other, or like everyone else, 40-something drag queens talk about stuff that's on our mind, you know, like makeup and clothes and drag or not drag, maybe Halloween. It's Halloween, Raja.
Yes! Gay Christmas. Christmas. It's like Christmas, but gayer. This is like the happiest time of the year I'll be. And then after that, it's all downhill.
Yeah. Well, Halloween, I mean, of course, you know, you can't have Halloween. Well, you can have Halloween without candy, but, you know, people have so many dietary restrictions. But I always think of like favorite candies from trick-or-treating. Because I think when you say gay Christmas, I do kind of see it as that a bit. But I always think of candy at Christmas time as like See's candy or Whitman's sampler or Godiva chocolate, right? Like something you set out for everyone to share. But Halloween is all about like bagged, like sixlets and Snickers. And what's your candy? What would be your go-to candy when you went trick-or-treating? Like, what were you really? And did you use the pillowcase? Because I used to use a pillowcase when I was a little kid.
Oh, yes. Right? Pillowcase. Oh, my God. Pillowcase. And then you would keep the pillowcase. Like, you would keep that candy for months. Like, for me anyway, I would make it last. And I would kind of eat the bad ones, like the ones that I didn't love as much first.
Oh, okay.
You know, because you wanted to savor and save all the good ones. Like, I'm a chocolate person. So anything chocolate, baby, is for me. Snickers, Milky Way. Give me all the little ones, all the little packets, and I will just sit here in my own filth and just, like, have piles of, you know, candy wrappers around me. I love the chocolate, baby. Give me all of them. But then I also have those moods, too, where I, like, go into, like, sour candy. Yeah. And I love like the Nerds, the little packets of Nerds, and you can just shake the whole thing into your mouth. Like,
yes.
Thick. Give me those.
Did you like Pop Rocks?
I like Pop Rocks, but even in my adulthood, I'm still a little scared of them. Like, I'm always a little afraid that they might actually like pop and crackle in my mouth and my teeth will all break off and burst out of my mouth.
Well, you only have two real ones left, so I mean, mine are wooden, so I can speak on it.
Bitch, yes, George Washington.
Yeah, no, there's some candies that I love at Halloween that I think not everyone loves. I definitely love the little tiny flavored Tootsie Rolls. So like the lemon lime Tootsie Roll or the orange cream Tootsie Roll. I love those so, so much. But I also used to think like when I was a kid, we would go trick-or-treating and then you'd always hear about people saying, go to the rich area because they give you full-size candy bars. And I don't think we ever went to the rich area. Like we didn't do that. We just went around the neighborhood.
It was like, go to Hacienda Heights.
You know, always. Like... Uh-huh. Because they'll really do it for you. Like if you go into like Turnbull, like up high.
Should we drive to Pasadena or?
I would love it. I miss trick or treating. I don't remember what age I stopped trick or treating, but you know, I think it's definitely something magical for kids. And
I
don't
miss
know.
It. I wish I could. I wish I could still trick or treat. Who trick or treats anymore in 2020? I mean, you have to be like in Vermont in a very white neighborhood.
Right.
You are not going to do that in Southern California. If I had children, no, you're not going trick or treating. You are not going to any stranger's house. Getting candy, begging for candy. No. I'm not. I won't allow it. No.
Well, I live in a kind of a small building with about 28 units, and there's lots of kids that live in the building. And every year, I go buy like a big pumpkin. I put candy in it. I'm like, they might come to the door. I don't know, but I don't want to be empty-handed. But I think secretly, I know that like as it gets closer, I'm like, I think that candy's for me. I think it's actually, I've been knowing for a long time that they don't come to these doors.
Mary.
They go do trunk or treating, or they call it trunk or treating. Have you heard of that?
No.
Churches and organizations will have parents show up with their cars and they'll line up in the parking lot and it'll be like, you know, quote, close set kind of. And the parents will just have their trunks open and they'll have candy so that they know everyone is going to be in a limited space trick-or-treating out of trunks. So it's families that go to a specific church or maybe a community organization or something. I guess it's a way of trying to keep it limited as to who
that sounds
has
like
access.
When I used that sounds like when I used to buy weed before dispensaries were around.
Yes.
That sounds like when I used to go buy weed like in the early 2000s, late 90s. Like we would go get our treats out of a trunk.
Trunk and smoke.
No,
trunk and trunk and toke.
Thank God I don't have children, because if I did, I would not take them trick-or-treating. If I did, it would have to be in a safe environment like that, because I don't be trusting anybody anymore. No.
Well, tell me about your mask. Tell everybody about this mask that you're wearing.
What mask?
Oh, okay. Told the future a bit with this mask, because it's not new. It's not new, but this was prior to the pandemic. You were wearing masks.
Mm-hmm. This is from this was the opening mask that I wore in my show called Mask that I did in Provincetown maybe 3 years ago. Yep, 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of falling apart. Looks like the teeth are coming off, but I don't give a shit. It's been a while. It was used many, many times, But really, what mask? This is the makeup that I wear. Like, I'm into
that
prosthetics. Yeah, I'm into prosthetics, and I am I influence people with makeup.
Oh, you're an influencer, and you and that's your aesthetic. You have the prosthetic aesthetic.
This is the prosthetic aesthetic.
Yeah, the prosthetic aesthetic.
By the way, you look fucking fantastic. This
well,
is
thank
the
you.
Look.
You know, we're 90s people for sure, and we loved all the witchy movies, and we love the characters of the time. And I I can watch The Craft all year long, but at Halloween time, like right as the end of the summer comes, you know that like it's going to be on repeat on every streaming service. You probably have the DVD. You'll be at Walmart and it'll be in the $5 bin. You have to watch it. And I felt like, because I know that we do have something that we're going to go into a little bit later, centered around sort of the phenomenon. And so we're going to be talking a little bit later about True Heart Intuitive Tarot, which is we have a special guest coming later. So I'm excited about that. But we have a lot of stuff to get to.
Oh, I thought you were supposed to be like Madonna in Like a Prayer.
No, I'm supposed to be Michelle Visage. You don't see it?
See You're something? Not
see it? But my drag name is, but I couldn't find the Michelle Visage, so I bought the Michelle Massage costume at Halloween Spirit Store.
Michelle Massage.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh my God. Nothing sounds worse than a massage from Michelle Visage.
Because of the nails.
Because that would hurt. She would scrape into your back.
I would want a back scratching from her because her nails are always so long and gorgeous. Oh, scratch my back.
I want her to get on my balls. Fuck
it. Like this?
Yeah, just like real soft. Real like soft scratching.
But then do you think she'd be like this afterwards? Like picking out that gnat butter out of there?
Ew! Gnat butter? Fucking huerotes.
So listen. We have a couple of letters that we want to read.
Yes, we love these.
We're going to read them, but I, you know, if you guys have, you want to message us, you can message us at deltaandraja@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that we're going to read every single, well, we will read the letters. We will review the letters, but only certain ones will make it on air because we, you know, not, we don't have time for everybody. We don't have
not
time
everybody,
for everybody.
No.
But let's listen to the first one. The first one's from Josie. Hello to one of my favorite Gemini Aquarius pairings. Living for your podcast, ladies, I have a serious question for both of you. What are your thoughts on genital piercings? I pride myself on being an open-minded individual, but once in a while I'll start connecting with a guy over a dating app. We exchange phone numbers, and after about a week, we start exchanging some risque photos, and boom, a Prince Albert. The sight of one makes my bones want to leap out of my flesh and jump into a car fire. Are they intense as they seem? Can you both get birth charts done so we know your astrological profiles? Thank you so much, Josie. What are your feelings about not just these genital piercings, but I think maybe the idea that I don't know if Josie's frightened by them, or maybe she felt like it was something she should have heard about before she saw about it. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how that works.
You should have told me. I wouldn't have been, you know, I wouldn't have been chatting this long. You know, I don't, you know, if I was Josie and she didn't like piercings. I don't know. I personally don't think that they are necessary. I don't know how they function as an erotic tool. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their purpose is other than an aesthetic, a prosthetic aesthetic. You know, it's like, I don't know if I've ever actually encountered a genital piercing, like in a sexual way. Like, I don't think I've ever been with a person who has that. I know that, you know, your tongue isn't your genitals, but it does serve a function, a sexual function. Like, you can, you know, definitely stick genitals in mouths. And I know I don't like the a person with a piercing in their mouth while my dick is in it is just not exciting. I don't know. Okay. In the 90s, they used to say, yeah, it's really good for girls because you can, like, tickle the clit and stuff. And I was like, well, I don't have a clit, and I certainly don't want a piece of metal, even though it's got this rounded ball. I like sex to be squishy. I don't like it, you know? I don't like it to have metallic things that get in the way. Now, if you're with a partner who wants to be safe, I'm not even sure how a piece of jewelry can be safe in a prophylactic kind of situation. I've seen porns where, like, you know, there's a big fat Albert. It's a fat Albert, not a Prince Albert. Hey, hey, hey. It's a fat, like, ring, and I can't imagine that entering any part of my body. I don't want to break teeth on it. Again, I only have two left, you know, saving and savoring each tooth as I have them, and I don't know how that would feel inside my body if somebody was entering me. Entering. That's very romance novel. That's how when I used to masturbate to my grandmother's romance novels. That's, you knew when they were fucking, they were entering.
Right, entering, or like he touched her sex. Right. Well, here's the thing. You know, Josie, you really can't form an opinion unless you experience it. So I don't think that there's anything necessary. How about this? How about, I don't know how many people are sending her pictures, by the way, of how many people she's, like, hitting up that all have these Prince Alberts. But maybe look for, maybe hit hook up with one that has, like, the smallest of the pictures that you saw. Mm-hmm. That way you can sort of test the waters a little bit. I would say, yeah, you wouldn't really know. I mean, maybe it seems shocking in some way, but maybe you have to just jump in feet first and give it a shot and see, and then go, you know, it's not my thing, or oh my god, it made no difference, and so it shouldn't limit me. I think that's kind of a safe, healthy way to, why not, if she's on the fence about it, I think then, you know, you can't really make a mistake by going, well, let me just, you know, I don't know, let me just,
yeah, you can't knock it till, you know, you try it, you know, it's,
yeah, and why not?
I don't think it's ever really shocking to me to see that, because nothing could possibly shock me at this point.
I know what would shock you. What? You know Dolly Levi here in LA? You know, she has nipple piercings, like a nipple ring on each one. She
does?
She has one on each, and she will hang her keys off of them. her full like car keys, and she'll just like look at you like and stare at you. And I think people are, a lot of people are surprised when they see it, but you know, Dolly's a gay man and healthy and exciting and you know, is a little, just a little bit older than us, but you know, from another generation, and it's fucking rad. So, but you know, that would surprise you to see Dolly walking around with keys to her condo hanging off of her nipples.
I never even realized that Dolly Levi had nipple piercings.
Yes.
I don't think when I'm around her, I ever like, you know, do the full, like, I have no idea what's going on with Dolly's body, other than sometimes that she, you know, she has a little bubble gum when she does a high kick.
Yeah, and a little bit. Yeah. And that's fine.
That. Well, we do have a very special guest. We have my good friend and, you know, actress, now author and tarot card witchy person from The Craft, also on Netflix, available now, Half and Half. Did you know about that? Half and Half.
Yes, I did.
Yep. My good friend Rachel True, who plays Rochelle of The Craft, is coming up, and she will be telling us about her new project and then just kind of overall sharing about what's going on for the Halloween season for her.
Yep, she has her new book. It's called True Heart Intuitive Tarot. So please enjoy our interview with Rachel True.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or vegan and veggie.
Also, you're going to want to discover the 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals.
The Factor meals were so great. I love that they came in a recyclable container and with very little waste. And oh, the yeah. food, delicious. My taste buds had a party.
Exactly. Really good. Really easy to make. Loved it.
Not a lot of cleanup, because Factor Meals eliminates the hassle of the prepping, the cooking, and cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff, and you can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and then pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. And if you're looking for gourmet meals, try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/drag50 and use code drag50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code Drag 50 at factormeals.com/drag50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is still active.
We live for the fall. We live for Halloween.
Oh, God, so fun.
I remember I wanted to be a girl for Halloween. I actually, like, have a drawing of what I did at age 9 or 10 years old of what I wanted to look like. And it was pretty much a swimsuit look.
Okay.
Because I wanted to be slutty. I don't know. I just wanted to be this gorgeous girl, you know, for Halloween. So, anyway, Halloween is very, very, very important. And you look fantastic.
Thank you. So this, you know, I start my Halloween, like, sort of drag show numbers, like, in the beginning of October, and I run them all the way through, and, like, I always look for ways that I can sort of nod from one character to the other in a quick costume change. So, like, behind me is the beginnings of my Endora wig.
Endora!
And I know that I could utilize this kind of eye makeup with maybe just a little, you know, I'm not going to look exactly like them, but I like putting in as much of the nod as I can, if that makes any sense. We've talked about that before. But, you know, also at Halloween, one of my favorite things is going to any pop-up spirit store, or whatever they want to call them, And looking at those costumes that we talked about before, like, if you like Maleficent, you'll love Horned Sorceress. And if you want to be Ariel, well, just buy our Lagoon Lass. Like, they Lagoon are the Lass. They are the funniest shits ever. But it's just
so
all in
stupid.
For me, it's just all in fun. And I wish I knew more about the way so many other people observe Halloween and you know, holidays centered around that. And I would love to know more about that, because I think sometimes when people say, like, oh yes, I'm interested in that, then they immediately will sort of default to when they hear one thing, they know all about that. And I don't think there's anything wrong in saying, I don't know, but I know that I'm interested, right?
Oh my God. You are hitting on so many different points that I really, really want to touch upon with our guest today. And yes. Let's get her in right away.
Let's get her in.
Like, I thought I was gonna be like, let's put her in the second and third part. And I'm like, no, let's get her in right away. And you've made the greatest segue into it. Today we have a very special guest for our very first episode that we have a guest on for our Halloween episode. We have the very lovely Rachel Chirrut.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi. So I'm assuming you had me on for a little witchy theme, because I was in a witch movie, maybe.
Yeah. Something like that. One that we're obsessed with. But I have so many obsessions with witch movies, and you know that'll be certainly something we will touch on while we're together. I'm happy to see you. I'm happy you get to meet my friend Delta. You and I have known each other for a little bit now. We did a podcast together with Alec Mappa. Was that a few years ago?
You guys, that was at least 3 years ago, I think. But let me give you guys a little secret that I found out on that podcast. Maybe you know already. Raja is super nice.
Delta doesn't believe so.
Delta
thinks I'm dreadful.
No, listen, we're all divas, right? Each and every one of us in our own way. But sure. We all are. But I was actually struck when I did the podcast, Alec Mappa's with Raja, that you were so kind of grounded. And that's not
you mean stoned.
Sure, yes. But that is whatever grounds you, baby. But that is not everybody who has come up and had the success you've had. Not everyone understands what I'm saying. Is there's a difference between who the core person that they are is, and then there's Raja, right? And the two are obviously the same, but there's also a little bit of a separation in church and state, which I appreciated. Otherwise, you'd be an asshole.
Damn. I love that. I think no, you are a very that person, and also very open to so many other people's stories and understanding where people are coming from. And I think a lot of times that's like with our friendship. And again, I don't know much about astrology, but it's something that's very interesting to me, something I want to know more about. That's where we connect, but also where we can sort of divide in our Raja's a lot more forgiving of people in my mind in many ways. And
Are you being really honest right now?
I am being very honest. I think a lot of times.
God, I'm going
to
cry.
No, I think to have an honest moment.
Good.
I'm
so
actually going to cry.
No, you are, because there's many
You're
times
so
where you'll
sweet,
see something.
Delta.
You'll see something for what it is.
See
and then
something?
See something, you'll see it and you'll go, girl, just let them be. Like, let it be, let them be, just move on from it. And you know, I'll get caught up in it. And I'm like, well, no, I need to understand this and why this and da 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 da. And I don't know if it's my maturity level or whatever, you know, we're only 1 year apart, but still, you are definitely, I think, that person.
What I know is that sounds like a real actual friendship, by the way, because someone who's a frenemy. Like, one of the things I think is, you know, all over the place in Hollywood, right? There's a lot of smoke and mirrors. We all love going out and being fabulous. But there are a lot of frenemies. So when we let them in our inner circle, what happens is they don't say, let them be. They say, oh, girl, I would be really mad if I were you. Yeah, mm-hmm. I would get even madder, mm-hmm. you know? So I like someone who can help calm my ass down.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I'm getting rid of frenemies. I don't even want those anymore. Like, I just want friends. I think what anything I've learned in this pandemic is how to filter out bullshit and how to filter out bullshit people. Like,
I think,
for damn sure.
I talk about a lot of this stuff because in the book that you mentioned, I have a lot of memoir essays in there. There's 22 memoir essays for all the nosy DMers. But Mm-hmm. I think it's super important to actually, you get to a certain age and you realize, what's my engagement with the frenemies? Frenemies are great for, you know, like when you see them at a party, hi, interact, business acquaintances, all that. If that's great, I'll be, hey, what's up, girl, boy? Yeah. But what I'm saying is, in my inner circle, there does come a point where you realize you're hurting yourself. You're making a choice to hurt yourself by having someone around who does not have your back.
Damn.
Yeah. No, man. That makes sense. That makes sense.
But damn, is that, but listen, you also come from a different world. Like, I've seen, you know, the behind the scenes of Drag Race, and like, y'all are a lot of frenemies, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe so. I definitely don't think that Delta is a frenemy. We've known each other too long to we've gone beyond that past. We've gone past that point, and it happened very quickly and early in our relationship. So yeah. Definitely Gabriel Villarreal, aka Delta Work. Ooh. Is my. I'm just reading what it says on the Zoom right there. It says Gabriel. she's definitely my girl. She's definitely my friend.
I do think when we get to like grown up-ish, you know, approaching grown up, that's when we go, oh, well, what do I really want around me? And I want I want joy, actually. You know what I mean? I like joy.
More joy.
Rachel, tell us about your book and you know, really anything about it, because I am all ears.
Well, one of the things I've always been into since I was a small kid was tarot cards. And less because of Wiccan-y, pagan-y stuff, to be 100% honest, more just because I was drawn to the images. And then I started studying it when I was a little older, like in-depth studying. And so finally, all this time later, I felt like I knew enough. I'll always be studying a student of tarot. But in the book, I kind of wrote the kind of book that I would have loved to have when I was first getting out there. You know what I mean? Because there wasn't one that broke everything down. It's my sense of tarot is it's very Jungian. I love tarot actually for self-help and for self-soothing. Sure, you can divine with it, but I keep saying that like there's so many newly minted baby witchlings out there who are like, I know everything. And I'm like, listen, you are magical, absolutely, but you gotta learn to walk before you ride your broomstick. Just start at the beginning. And I know you guys are much younger than me, but you understand
Not much, Rach. Slow that down. But yes, I hear what you're saying about that. I think it's, I would have loved to have something to guide me through it, because I had witchy feelings at a very young age, you know, and it kind of put me on the, you know, I grew up in a very Christian household. So, you know, intuition wasn't something that you were really supposed to kind of hone or fertilize, or, you know, it was just kind of like faith.
Even though it's one of the oldest and most basic instincts, gut intuition, when you walk in a room and you're like, oh, the vibe is weird. That's all I'm talking about, is picking up in the energy of stuff.
That's how I know Delta and I are working together when we're at Hamburger Mary's. I'll walk into a room and I'll be like, fuck, the vibe is weird.
Oh, thank you.
It smells like a pedo in here, like a fart.
Well, then I'm there.
It smells like a pedo and chicken strips.
In the book, I actually break down, I have page long definitions of the cards. Most little tarot books you get, or tarot decks you get, don't have a book at all or a tiny pamphlet. So this is page long definitions. And I even say, what if you get this card in business, in love, in this, and then the low vibe. And then I write a personal memoir essay for the first 22 cards of the deck, the major arcana, which are bigger things in life. And I really get kind of raw and vulnerable, because my thing is like, I'm a grown up. I've had some fantastic things happen to me, and I've stumbled quite often too. So talking about some of the stumbles, I think is actually helpful. It's so much more helpful for people to learn than if I just said, and then I went to this fabulous party and sat next to an A-list movie star and we danced all night. All you know is I'm cool, which I am, but you don't really learn anything about how that impacts your own life. So I tried to go deep. Like, I talk about some embarrassing shit in here.
So wait, so the book itself is a book that goes along with the tarot deck, but is also a bit of your own story and memoirs in there
Yeah, I know it's complicated, and frankly, it could have been marketed better by my team, because what it is a hybrid thing. It's a whole book, which nobody seems to understand that I actually... Listen, have you ever written a fucking book? It's really fucking hard.
No, I would like to. I've been encouraged
you
to.
You should.
By you.
You should. I have encouraged you, actually, because you do have a book in you, but honestly, it's really hard to write a book. Like, I'm an author and people are only talking about the deck. And my thing is, as a student of tarot, you can always keep learning. I love learning people, different schools of thought on things, and I may talk about things you don't know about. And then, yes, there's 22 memoir essays in here, so it's a bit of a tarot hybrid memoir thing. And then it also has, I designed a deck with a Canadian artist who is an air sign, and I drove her crazy.
Nice.
But Canadian artist. And so there's a deck that comes with it. And for me, it's kind of about, it's kind of like this. We're only as strong as like our weakest fellow man. So if we can all vibrate a little better, it's just going to make the planet happier. And I'm a hippie. That's what I want.
I agree. I like to vibrate at my best.
Me, I like to vibrate. That's all I've been doing is vibrating lately, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, shit. But me and Delta are 90s children.
Yeah.
We grew up in the 90s.
Yes.
The Craft came out in fucking 96, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah,
I think I did that research correctly. I Googled something.
Yeah, you did.
I did that.
So like,
but 96,
I'm.
Ago. Yeah, 96. I moved to LA in 99 and I was 25 years old.
Baby.
I was a baby, and it was definitely, you know, 1999, 25 years old, West Hollywood, fantastic, you know. So I have a different view of the 90s. Like, I don't, like, when kids talk about the 90s today, they seem to think of it as being a lot more maybe colorful. Like, everything looks like a Saved by the Bell graphic.
Right.
Like, I'm like, wait, that's not the 90s.
No, it was heroin.
Not for
grunge.
Me.
Wasn't
no,
it
was grunge.
Grunge,
oh,
grunge
yeah.
And heroin chic and no makeup and,
yes.
You know, just wear whatever.
Calvin
Flannel.
Klein, CK1, CKB. Mine was a very fashion-oriented 90s. Like,
I agree.
I was also a little bit older. You know, I came out and started going to clubs at a very young age. And by the time I was 18 in 1992, I was already studying Terry Mugler. You know, so my 90s did not look like a side pony and like Lisa Frank. To me, that was like the thing that I avoided the most. So,
oh my God, that's funny you said that, because one of my first auditions in L.A., I think I'd worked on Stevie Four, Chris Rock's movie, and then I tested for Saved by the Bell Goes to College. And I felt like I was too old for it, even though I wasn't. And I couldn't figure out what to do, so I put my hair up in this horrible side pony. Because I thought, this is what I'm supposed to do, right? But no, the 90s, I think people forget that when you're living through a decade, you don't actually really know you're in a moment, right? You're just doing your thing. You're studying fashion like you were, or sure. You're doing witch movies like I was, and stoner movies, but you don't really know that people are going to look back on it and be like, I love the 90s.
Yeah. Not the 90s, I remember. Definitely.
No, I had a good time in the 90s. I'm not going to lie.
I did too. I really grew up. Delta, tell us about your 90s, girl.
I mean, I feel like, I feel like
we were
the
there
90s,
together.
We were there together. And I also feel like it was sort of the beginning of what would later become the whole reality TV, what became a thing, where it was like everybody wanted to hear each other's stories, because we had The Real World.
It just debuted, right? In the early 90s. I remember that.
And then we had Road Rules. And then the very first All-Stars kind of idea was like Road Rules versus Real World. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
and
it was, I do.
And it was my way, I remember in the early 90s, of seeing, when I first saw like Real World San Francisco, Real World LA, it was the idea that I saw that like there was other people outside of this area that had something that I wanted to know about. Does that make sense? Like, I wanted to know what was San Francisco, and I saw a little glimpse of it by seeing The Real World, and I thought, I could go there. I don't have to go to the college where everyone in my family went, or I don't have to go to college. Maybe I don't want to go to college. Maybe I want to get in drag and go to a rave. And I did that.
The 90s to me was a huge time of like experimentation and really figuring out who I was. And so I don't remember it as being Saved by the Bell. And when the kids talk about it, it goes over my head and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I was looking at fucking En Vogue performing and Refat Ozbeck.
Right.
I was
right.
Like, oh, Free Your Mind? Yes, I will free my mind. Yes. Madonna's right. Frozen. Madonna everything. You know, so like my 90s was very different.
Okay, but even Madonna now.
Yeah. Yeah, right, I just I just saw a video of her that she posted for Lourdes' birthday, Lola, her daughter, her firstborn.
Gorgeous.
And
gorgeous.
It's just Lourdes dancing to Frozen, you know.
Aww.
You only see what you... And it's just, it was just stunning. So, yeah, I still love
listen,
Madonna.
I was in New York for, listen, because I am a little bit older, but like, I remember Madonna and the Peppermint Lounge and all that old school stuff in New York City. So I'm a fan too. I just, you know, sometimes I look at people who are just a little bit older than me, my peers, and I think it's a slight cautionary tale because she's so beautiful. I want her to just, I want her to leave it alone, the face. She's beautiful.
It's okay. It's okay. I think I just want Madonna.
Okay.
I want Madonna. I've always expected Madonna to be an eccentric older woman.
Totally.
And she's really already on that route.
People were criticizing her for showing her ass, and I was like, shut up. I don't care what age she is. She looks fucking fabulous. She can flip her ass out in that shape. So I don't mean that at all. Like, I don't think a lady has to, oh, I'm old and I can't wear it. Somebody told me I couldn't wear shorts anymore. And I was like, fuck you. Have you seen my legs? That's what I said. I can wear shorts.
Yeah. Rachel, the first thing that people have said to me every time I mention your name is like, God damn, she hasn't aged a bit.
Ring light.
No, it's not.
Know what? You guys can, like, I'm trying to loosen up about my, I'm very committed to aging naturally, 100% naturally. Like, I've never done anything and I do it with food. And I used to be pretty judgmental of people who did a lot of stuff until I had a really good conversation with a lot of people, but including Calpurnia Adams, because it's like, oh shit, Rachel, some people work, getting work done makes them feel more of who they truly are.
Sure.
I always thought I had to accept. This is just my little black girl coming up. I thought, oh, the challenge is to accept what I was given, no matter what it is, even if I don't like it. So I just had a weird mindset. And now I'm like, no, it's beautiful. If someone wants to get work done and make themselves feel better, it's amazing.
I agree. The technology is so beautiful now. And why shouldn't we all just take advantage of it? I have a doctor in Puerto Vallarta, Dr. Carlos Diaz, just in case he's listening, he's not. But, you know, I go to him and he hooks me up and he gives me a touch of Botox here.
What have you had done?
Just very, very slight. Just a little Botox just in the center of my, right here, right in the center of my eyes, where the number 11s occur.
Yeah,
and then
I have those.
Quickly, what while you were filming, I know you were in costume for The Craft. Like, you definitely had to wear the schoolgirl outfit and the blazer. And then, but what outside of it, Rachel True, what did you look like? What was your actual style? Like, what was you living in in 96?
A pretty grungy, boho grungy kind of look. I was very into Anna
flannels.
Sui. You know what? Not really. Cause I always thought flannels were super white kids shit. To be honest.
You wore slips as dresses.
I wore like, well, you know, when I used to dress all in black in New York, then I moved to LA in 92 and my friend took me off the plane directly to the beach. And we saw a bunch of Jacksons from the Jackson family. So I was like, wow. And then I looked around and every woman had on the exact same flower dress with motorcycle boots or some variation. Do you remember that? The little flowered? And it freaked me out. It freaked me out as a New Yorker because I was like, I don't understand. Is it like a uniform? Does it drop it off at your house when you move to LA and you all must dress identically? Because you don't at all dress the same in New York, you know?
Right.
I eventually came around to wearing what? Flower dresses, motorcycle boots, t-shirts under the dress, shirts over pants.
The little baby tees.
I'm so glad I was young when they were popular because our little baby tees were literally like a toddler t-shirt that came up to right under your boobies and it was just adorbs. I loved it all.
I miss baggy denim.
No, I don't miss baggy denim. I miss baby barrettes. I don't though. Not with my curvy girl figure.
Rachel, you don't miss them. I've seen you wear baby barrettes, so you've had them recently. So how could you possibly miss them?
Are you saying I'm stuck in a moment?
Maybe.
Okay, so we are going to take a break and we will be back in a moment.
Ka-ka-ka-ka.
You guys on the break, they said go the fuck away, and I was like, no.
No, Rachel True is still here, star of life. She is the star of everything. But most people may know her as Rochelle on The Craft, the film. I don't really want to talk about this with you because you were like, please, let's not talk about this. Delta, I'm going to talk about this.
Okay.
How do you feel about the new Craft? I'm going to leave it there.
How do I feel?
No, Rachel. There's a new Craft coming.
I don't know her.
Because I'm stoned.
I don't know her. Nice gowns.
I think that's the answer. I think that's the answer we needed.
Because I would rather talk about me.
Absolutely. I agree. I think we should.
I do want to share with you guys, though, that I was on the phone with Peruza. It was a very good friend of mine. She played Nancy, the one, you know, the lead, yes, lead with the crazy eyes. I love her. She's a really intense, fabulous person. And we were just giggling to ourselves because we really, that movie, I should say, not us, but that movie helped bring witchcraft kind of to the forefront of pop culture, you know?
Yes.
And the fact that people still talk about it all these years later, like, we actually, like, I sent her a meme of it the other day, and she sends me a meme. Like, we giggle about it because it's in our past, you know? Like, it's not really present in my mind. But the fact that I've done, frankly, a couple characters, like my sitcom Half and Half, where I played a really goofy character, Mona, Netflix starting today, actually.
Oh my God.
So much love for that. And I love that I have three different characters that people know the name of, you know? So that to me, like, people know the names of those characters, which is kind of a nice thing as an actor. It lets you know they remember you.
Rachel, that is an accomplishment. I honestly think that is, because most people only know me as Sutan, Raja, and Come Guzzling Whore. And that's on,
that's
on a whole
three.
Other, like, yeah.
That's three, and three is the magic number.
Well, this is the third segment of our show, which is normally the part where we talk about a thing called See Something. Delta, talk about this, honey.
Okay, so I know exactly what this is. I know that you are doing... Groove is in the Heart by D-Light.
A very bad Groove is in the Heart,
but I know for sure.
Look at that tight Pilates waist line that no longer exists. I'm like a pudge.
I thought you were talking about me.
No.
I thought you were talking about how great I looked in there, because I was clearly also surfing body, yaddy, 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 yaddy.
Oddy, oddy.
Body oddity. This is one of my favorite numbers to do, because this is the Sue Johansson sex talk. Do you remember that? I like to do my comedy little thingies.
Tell everyone who Sue Johansson is, though.
Sue Johansson is a sex expert who used to have her own talk show on late at night, a sexpert. And she would talk very frankly and honestly with men and women. And she wouldn't sugarcoat things. She would talk about sexual health and how important it is to be healthy sexually, and how you shouldn't be embarrassed or uncomfortable about what you need physically and what you need as a desire. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. And so this would obviously was a, you know, a send up to that. It wasn't by any means degrading what she does. It's, what I do is basically splice together in it, like irreverent songs that would be like, what if she sang that? Like, what if that was where her story was going with it? So in any event, I have a collection. Pandora Box told me that she is one day going to create an account. If you zoom down in on those shoes, she's going to create an account called The Shoes of Delta Work. And, because I have all these little old ladies that I do. I do this one. I do the God Warrior. I do a few other ones. I buy these shoes that are so hideous, and I specifically have to make sure that they match the outfit. And people are like, why don't you just spend the money on beautiful shoes? But I feel like, no, I don't. I want to. Well, I mean, listen, I'm always looking for a reason to wear flats.
Quick question, Delta, because you're so fabulous and talented too, and have a Drag Race background. What made you so drawn to the, like, these kooky women, these grown women, like, characters, really?
I think because I like the idea of getting the whoever the character is, and then creating a sort of 6 to 7 minute storyline of them in a situation that absolutely is such a juxtaposition to something that they don't do. So, for instance, this lady rapping, and taking it sort of to this next level. And I think, you know, a lot of people can do. Get away with, you know, I'm not a dancer. I'm a high quality romancer.
You're not. You're not a dancer. Yeah.
I'm not a dancer. So, but a lot of people, when they go to a drag show, they want to see, you know, you have to really be able to pull them in immediately. And usually it's with fast movement and a song that they know on the radio, and they want to see that. And that's just not me. I like that music and I wish I could pull that off, but I just don't feel compelled to do it. But I love doing like these little characters and
I love mixing. What you do, by the way. Like, you are super talented and like real actor performer. Thanks. Is what I got that when I watched you. It was like, oh, this is someone who understands. It's just a mask we're putting on. It's a character. I'm acting. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
So I appreciate your art a lot. Mm-hmm.
I love that. Thank you.
Hey. You're welcome.
Raja doesn't appreciate it.
I hate it.
Is it because I didn't say how pretty you looked in that picture, Raja? You look super.
Well, this has been really, really fun. I wish that I could have so much more time with you, Rachel. And I have your phone number, and I will call you, and we will talk for hours, and we will just kind of just go off on tangents as we do. We tried to contain them today, and we got some things established. You are selling a book and a tarot deck, and so am I. I'm not selling a book.
Buy Raja's tarot deck and buy my book set.
Yes. Perfect set. I mean, the holidays are here.
Wait, you guys, I did get in a Twitter fight, an accidental Twitter fight with one of the girls from Charmed. Because she was
harshing. Oh, tell. Do tell.
We had like I was accidental. I won't say which girl, but she was kind of shitting on the new Charmed remake with the Brujas. And my feeling was, hey, white lady, maybe just shut up and celebrate that these Spanish characters, which a rich, long tradition of witchcraft, are getting their moment. You know,
right. She
couldn't, is the truth, you know,
she had to be victimized too.
Well, I'm not going to listen. A person's really talented actor and all that. I certainly wasn't trying to scrap with them, but the myopic view of whiteness, I'm tired of the white gaze, you know, the fact that it did not even occur. Her thing was, well, the original characters were sisters and that's what the original person wanted. It's like, bitch, they're not sisters now and they're Spanish. Suck it up.
Right.
Suck it the fuck up. It's called progress in the future. So, I don't have as much patience for precious whiteness when it comes to remakes or stuff like that. But also one thing I know is I'm not going to mouth off about something. If it's a remake of something I've been in, there's no point. It has nothing to do with me. So I kind of felt like with her, it's like that was me going, it doesn't concern you, actually.
Right.
Before we leave, can we comment on just how fucking fantastic Delta looks as Lily Munster tonight in her Wigs by Vanity Wig?
Thank you.
Her chola eyebrows.
I felt like they were kind of like her. And it's just, she have like a little, they were kind of Vulcan, actually, a little bit.
Listen, what is the, like, there's a fine line between goth and chola.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is.
I believe it.
I love the intersection, though, of goth and chola. It's fabulous. Well, but no, you look, Delta, you look stunning. First of all, the blend on that shadow, the beat on that face. The hair impeccable, the edges laid.
Let me look at myself again. No, I'm just
kidding. You should. If I look like you, I'd have a mirror right here.
Stop. But goth and chola to me are the same. So
It's Halloween. I want to wear it all. I want to wear all of it.
All right.
Well, thank you for being here with us. Thank you for sharing and giving us some insight, not just to your new book and your new tarot deck, but also just shit in general. I mean, life in general. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me mouth off on here.
I have a question. Was I too day drunk today?
No.
Okay, so Rachel, where do we get the book? Where do we get the cards? Where do we get the combo of the book and the cards? Tell us more.
You can buy the whole set, which is a box set with the book and the cards, anywhere. Buy from your favorite local bookstore or indie bookstore to support them during these trying pandemic times, or you can get it from Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Books A Million, any of them. On social media, I'm True Rachel True on Instagram, because this little white girl won't give me my goddamn name back, and I'm like, darn, too tired of the brothers hitting you up, and she's like, crickets, crickets, which means she likes it. And then on Twitter, so True Rachel True on Instagram, and I am at Rachel True on Twitter.
Amazing. Thank you for being our first guest on Very That.
Very first.
Very first. And we
thanks
are so
for letting
excited
me crash the party, ladies.
We love you so much, Rachel. Take good care of yourself, and Delta and I will, you know, harass you soon.
Good. Okay.
Love
bye
it. Happy Halloween.
I love you.
Happy Halloween.
Bye,
you guys too.
Happy
bye
Halloween.
Well, that was awesome. I'm so glad, Raja, that you were able to bring Rachel with into the podcast and introduce me.
I love her.
I've only heard wonderful things about Rachel, and hearing her spirit and her interesting notes about the way that she's done this book, the type of format. So very excited about that. Thank you so much for allowing me to be part of that with Rachel. And, you know, thank you guys so much for listening to Very That. Our show comes out every Monday. So please subscribe, rate, like the show, because that's the best way for people to find out more about our podcast is just by you rating it. So thank you so much for joining us. If you want to send us a message, you can message us at deltaandraja@gmail.com.
All you got to do is search for Very That with Delta and Raja on your favorite podcast app, whatever it is, and hit the subscribe button. Rate and review our show on your podcast app and let us know how you feel about this. Give us good reviews. Show us some love. Tell your friends.
And it's Very That.
Yeah. Follow me in Delta. You can follow me at Sutan Amrul and at Delta Work on Instagram. Ooh. We'll be back next week.
Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween. Ooh.
Boo.
Ooh.
Boo. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Hope you get that candy. Witch.
Yeah.
Yum.
Get that candy, bitch.
Witchy.
Forever.
To listen to Very That ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Very That is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Delta Work and Raja.
Music, sound design, and editing by Will Pitts.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Are we going to... I think next week we should do maximum slayage.
No.
No?
I'll
you're
like,
not going to slay all day, Mom?
No, I'll do like kind of like midway slay.
But you're part of the moms. Like we're part of like mom, like Moguls of Media. We're like part of it. Like we have to slay a lot. Not like minimum. Do you know what I mean?
Do we?
Do you know what I mean?
No.
Are you forever a dog? I think you're forever a dog. I'm a mom, but you're like forever a dog.
You're anyway, a dog. You're a forever dog.
I could be a dog for Halloween if I want. I could be a sexy dog. It's Halloween. It could
sexy
be whoever
Scooby.
You want.
Sexy Scooby.
Tan sexy Scoobies.
Tan sexy Scoobies.
Tan sexy Scooby sex.
Doggies.
I don't like doggies. When people do that and they go, like, so they talk like this.
Sex.
I've talked about that before, and people are like, oh, do you want, like, some veggies on your salad? Like, what kind of veggies do you want in your sandwich?
But I only want my veggies if they're veggies? Sexual.
But, like, than sexy. Sexy veggies.
I want than sexy veggies.
Sexy Scooby snacks. Have you ever had a Scooby snack cocktail? They have such a thing. It's green. Have you not had that?
No.
You don't like stuff like that. You just drink beer and fucking whiskey.
Fucking.
That's how you are. I know what you're about. I'm out of this. Anyway, all right, I'll see you next week.